Okay, our topic today is a combination of Hanukkah as we all sit and eat our homemade sufganiyot here. Not bad, guys? Good?
Amazing. Okay.
Thank you. Good?
Thank you.
Excellent. And the workplace. What can be a combination of Hanukkah and the workplace? Tell me out here.
Lighting.
If you are?
Need to get home.
You not need a light. So we're going to talk about what the proper time is to light menorah. If you are stuck at work, what do you do? Can you be stuck at work? Can you eat, for example? If you're stuck at work, you're there for a few hours. What are you going to do about eating? What are you going to do about working? We are also going to talk about traveling, what somebody should do if they're on a business trip when it comes to lighting the menorah. So that's going to be our trajectory. We're going to talk broadly now about the proper time to light. And then in the second part of this year, we're going to apply that to the workplace challenge, getting out during the winter months nowadays, not in South Africa. Now it's the summer in South Africa, right? Any South Africans here? Yes, I think it's the summer there now. Pretty wacky, right? At least for us, that's pretty strange. But for you, it's strange being here in the winter. So we're going to talk about most of the modern world, that it is the winter is when Hanukkah is supposed to be. And what do you do when candle lighting is early, sunset's early, got to get out, but you're stuck at work. Okay, so we're going to start with the Gemara on Shabbos, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, that says that the mitzvah of lighting the menorah is from Shkia Sachama, Mishatishka Achama, Ad She Tichle Regal Min Hashuk. What is Shkia Sachama? Shkia Sachama?
Sunsetting.
Simply, so we typically mean Shkia is sunsetting, it depends, yeah, we'll see in a little bit. So Shkia Sachama, sunset. Ad she tichle regel min hashuk. What is tichle regel min hashuk? Until people have come home from work, people have left the marketplace. So the Gemara says, what is the ramification that the time for lighting is from shkia sachama ad she tichle regel min hashuk? So the Gemara brings two answers. Di lo adlik madlik. If you haven't lit at the beginning of that time period, you can light for that entire time period. So in other words, that from shkia sachama until ad she tichle regel min hashuk is the time you can light. Kepshuto, you can light at the beginning, you can light throughout, but once the end of that time period comes, it's possibly no longer the time to light. And the second answer in the Gemara is l'shi'ura. It's not talking about when you have to light, but how much oil you have to put in your menorah. The shi'ur, the amount that you have to put in, has to last for that time period, the time period of shkia until tichle rekel min hashuk. So obviously we're going to have to define what a shkia means, and what is Tichla Min HaShuk, in order to understand both of these questions, when do we light, and also how much oil do we have to put in. Now the Gemara says, what is this concept of Atcha Tichla Rega Min HaShuk? It says that Atcha Tichla Rega Min HaShuk, when they have left, when the people have left the Shuk, the marketplace is talking about a certain group of a certain nation, a certain occupation. There was a group of Tarmudians. That's what their occupation was selling wood in the marketplace. People went home, they needed more wood because that's how they had light and heat. They would come back and buy. And once that group left, that's where when we would know is the end time for lighting the menorah. So the Rambam says as follows. This is actually a big machlokas between the Marishonim. When is the first time to light? When is the end time to light? So what is Mishatishka Achama mean? And what is Tichle Regel Min HaShuk? So the Rambam paskens as follows. In madliking neros Chanukah kodem shetishka chama, we cannot light the menorah before shkia, rather at shkia. Rambam explains shkia is sunset. When the ball of the sun disappears, the sun is set, that is when we light. Rambam says we don't do it earlier, we don't do it later. We light at shkia. What happens if you blew it? You forgot, bemazed, you had something going on, you knew you had to light, but something took you away from it. Says the Rambam, that you can continue lighting until Ad Shetichle Regel Min HaShuk. What is Tichle Regel Min HaShuk? The Rambam says approximately a half hour after sunset. Maybe a little more, but a half hour after sunset. If you've gone that time period and you haven't lit, you're supposed to light at Shkia, you did. You went the whole half hour plus a few minutes, whatever it is, and you didn't, says the Rambam, you can no longer light. You've missed the opportunity to light. The Tur and the Shulchan Aruch disagree on a number of fronts. Number one, they say Shkia Sachama doesn't mean when the ball of the sun disappears under the horizon, that sunset, but rather it means the end of the process of the sun setting. End of the process of the sun setting means Seis HaKochavim, when the stars come out. That's the end of the process. The sun is fully set. There's no more light. The stars have come out. That is the time that you start lighting the menorah, and you go for a half an hour then into nighttime. And says the tour, and this is how we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, if you blew it and you didn't light even during that half hour into night, you still have the opportunity to light until Alos HaShachar, all the way up until Alos HaShachar, approximately 72 minutes before sunrise. Approximately, we don't really use that exactly. Some paskin do something 72. For simplicity, we'll say up to 72 minutes. So let me just lay out the machlokas between the Rambam and the Torah simply. According to the Rambam, when's the first time we're supposed to light? Shkia. Defined as sunset. We can light until? Which is defined as? Up into a half an hour after Shkia Sachama. What happens if I didn't light in that half hour or a little more? I can no longer light. According to the Torah, the start time is later. The start time is? Tesa Kachavim. Nighttime. I light for how long? Still a half an hour, but if I blew it, says the Torah Shulchan Aruch, you can continue all the way until Alos HaShachar. That's an important machlokas between the Rishonim. Tachlis, bottom line, what do the contemporary poskim say when it comes to lighting? So there are numerous tshuvas on this. Numerous poskim have written on this topic. So this is actually kind of random, but I'll chose the Az Nibru, Rav Binyamin Zilber, who passed away in 2008. And he's initially talking about Eretz Yisrael. He says in Israel, we should light at Shkia. Like the Rambam, we should light at Shkia. And he says, we paskin, like the Gaonim, their view of when does the new day start in Halacha, the new day starts at Shkia. We daven our Mincha before Shkia. After Mincha, we start Maariv. Should wait until nighttime, but we can daven Maariv. So he says, the same thing is when it comes to the menorah. The menorah is lit at Shkia, at sunset. He says that's how the Gra paskin. Anyone who follows the minhagim of the Gra, it's very common in Yerushalayim, would be lighting menorah at Shkia. Now, he continues and says, in Chutz La'aretz, the process of the sun setting is much slower than in Israel. In other words, between when the sun sets and when it becomes dark is fairly quick. In Chutz La'aretz, that's a much slower process. So he says, what's the benefit in Chutz La'aretz of lighting candles if they're not going to be seen fairly quickly? In Israel, it'll be seen fairly quickly because it gets dark quicker. In Chutz La'aretz, it should not be lit right at Shkia, but you should wait for a little while. Rav Aaron Kotler used to wait 25 minutes after Shkia. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said you should wait 20 minutes after Shkia, no longer than 30 minutes after Shkia. Rav Moshe Feinstein in New York wrote, you should light 10 minutes after Shkia. So the poskim are all within the half an hour after Shkia. But we see that typically in Eretz Yisrael, we may light sooner to Shkia. We push it sooner. The poskim in the Chutz La'aretz push it a little bit later. Is it 10 minutes like Rav Moshe? Is it 20 minutes? Is it 25 minutes? But it's no more longer than 30 minutes after. The Tshuvas Van Hagos Rav Sternbach says that the Chazon Ish in Bnei Brak used to light 20 minutes after Shkia, despite the Gra saying right after Shkia, 20 minutes, why 20 minutes? So he used to light in order to fulfill both of the Shitas, the Shita of the Rambam and the Shita of the Torah Shulchan Aruch. How is that? So according to the Rambam, how long do you have after Shkia to light? Half an hour. So 20 minutes is within half an hour. And according to the Torah Shulchan Aruch, it's after Tzeisa Kochavim. There are opinions that Tesa Kochavim is earlier than a little bit earlier than 20 minutes after Shkia. So he would try to fulfill both of the opinions. It was certainly within the half an hour of the Rambam. It was, according to some opinions, also after Tesa Kochavim based on the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah?
If they're still holding between Shkia and the regular Mishnah, why 20 minutes later? Why don't they do like 2 minutes after Shkia so they can
so
still get...
Because in Chutz La'aretz they're saying if it's a longer process of sun setting, then the language is in Hebrew, but it says a candle during the day, what's the benefit? Meaning if it can't be seen because it's too close to Shkia, because it's a slow process of getting darker, then why are you lighting? It's not the right time. You can't have pure Sume Nisa. And that's the whole concept of lighting the candles, is we're trying to publicize the nace, the miracle, via the candles. If they can't be seen, it's not a benefit to anyone.
So what's the principle that you're writing from Shkia to
That is the time period, depending on, now Shkia, that is the time period where people are around. That's the concept. So now that's a very important point. What we're talking about till now is people who are lighting outside. And we have to light when people are around. People are around from Shkia until Tichla Regel Min HaShuk, but we have to push it a little bit after Shkia, at least in Chutzlarts, if it's not light enough for them to see the candles yet. But we're trying to hit rush hour. And now what we're about to get into now, our next question is, does that change based on time, place, and circumstance? Meaning if you live in a city in Manhattan where the rush hour, the foot traffic, is only later in the day, or if it continues very late at night, does that change when we should be lighting our candles?
So is it said that the machlok is Rambam in Torah Shulchan is whether it's light after Shkia or after...
At Shkia or at Tais.
Yeah, what's the Lashon and the Gemara that they're arguing on?
Misha Tishka HaChama. And you can read it either ways. From when the sun set could be the beginning of Shkia, like the Rambam, or the end of the process of Shkia, which is like the Torah and Shulchan Aruch. It's an excellent question, but it's not Machriya. The Lashon can work either way. Okay, so our next question then, is this a subjective standard or an objective standard? Meaning, if I live in a place that people are out all night long, does that mean that two things? Number one, based on the first answer in the Gemara, if I didn't light, so I can continue lighting, I should have lit at Shkia, I should have lit at Seis, but the Ilo Adlik Madlik, I can continue lighting, there are people still out. Certain places may be midnight, certain places may be all night. And the second question is, Achetichlo Min HaShuk, if I'm defining Achetichlo Min HaShuk, does that mean that I have to put in enough oil that will last from Shki or Tseis until that happens, until there are no longer people out there in the marketplace? It's two very important questions. So the Mishnah Halachas of Menashe Klein was asked this question, and he says initially, and he also concludes for the most part as follows, that this is an objective standard. It does not change based on where you are, whether you're in New York City or you're in Los Angeles. It doesn't matter if people are out all night long. Chazal said that the time of Tichla Regel Min HaShuk is objectively set, and we would say based on the Rambam, it's a half an hour after sunset. Based on the Torah, it'd be a half an hour after Tzeis HaKachavim. It doesn't matter if there are zillions of people still out after that. So that's when we would have to light, based on the Mishnah Lachas, and then we would have to put enough oil to last that half an hour into after Shkia based on the Rambam, or after Tzeis based on the Torah and Shulchan Aruch. Now he does bring that there are people that are of the view that Tichla Regel Min HaShuk does change. Larger cities where people are out commonly until late hours, you would be able to light longer, and you would have to put oil into the menorah that will last until the end time period of Tichla Regel Min HaShuk. So he doesn't like that as much, that second standard. First standard is it's an objective standard, half hour after Tzeis or after Shkia or Tzeis. Second standard is it depends where you are, and it's going to expand based on how late people are there. But he does says, B'shas L'chak, in a time of need, you would be able to rely on this, that if you didn't light, then you continue lighting as long as people, you're lighting outside as long as people are around. Now, a third standard is brought by the Tshuvas Vanhagas of Moshe Sternbach, and says it can't possibly be that Tichla Regel Min HaShuk means that there are people still out and about, because that could last in every place all the time. Very few places everyone went to sleep, and no one's out and about. So he says that Kavana Anashi B'Shas Adlaka, what this concept of Tichla Regel Min HaShuk is, when are people taking their first pass coming back home from work? They're coming back, they haven't seen the menorah yet, we want to do the mitzvah of Pirsume Nisa on them. So we're lighting for those people that haven't seen a menorah yet. Those are the people that we're lighting outside for. So he says, in written a few decades ago, that in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, that was 7 o'clock that the stores used to close. So you'd put in for half an hour afterward until 7:30. That was the time of Tichla Regel Min HaShuk. Now, obviously, that would depend on where you are. If you're living in Times Square in New York City, that would be dramatically later. It would go all the way...
Sunrise
and later, right? The people never go to sleep there, so that would be. So we have three standards there. Lemaisa, we don't have to put in enough oil to last all night. What we do is we do put in enough oil to last a half hour. We typically try to have it go a half hour after Tzeis HaKachavim. So that's typically what we do. Yeah?
For somebody who meets Tzeis HaKachavim, and he now has until Alos HaShachar to light, should have it to set a mind that, okay, maybe since I missed, I don't have to worry about lighting the earliest I can, or should I still light the earlier that
you still should do it as early as you can. You still say, oh, no big deal, because we still have the concept of doing a mitzvah as quickly as you can do it. Okay, so what we've been talking about is being sensitive to when people are outside Tichla Regla Min Hashud, as if we are lighting outside. That's typically done in Eretz Yisrael. Not everyone, but many people light. They have a menorah, they put them out on a seat, they have a place, special designated area, they light the menorahs. But, as we know in Chutzlars, most people light where? Inside. Right? They light inside. Now, so we divide it into either just inside, or some light in the window so people can see it. So the Gemara in Shabbos says that at a time of Sakana, you put it on your table and that is sufficient. In other words, ideally we would light outside. That's what we do here in Yerushalayim. But if you're not able to, you live outside in Eretz Yisrael, the non-Jews were throwing things at the menorahs or whatever it may be, they don't want to see this concept of celebration of a chag, that the few overcame the many, and it was the overcome of the Jews versus the non-Jews, etc., reminiscent of what's going on in politics nowadays, not only politics, but life, with Eretz Yisrael in the United Nations, the United States of America, that the few should overcome the many, but we won't go into that right now, although I'd like to. So in any case, Tosva says that based on this, that we're lighting inside nowadays, says the Ri Nira Da'ata in Lachush Masa Yadli. We don't have to be concerned about when, the time that we light. Da'anu Ein Lanu Hekere Elu Levinei HaBayis Are Madliki Mibifni, because we are lighting for the people inside. In other words, our standard is not I have to worry about when there are people outside, because we're not lighting for them. Nowadays we're lighting inside. I have to be concerned about people that are on the inside. So the tour brings an opinion that says, based on that, if you're lighting late inside, you should have people awake on the inside. If it's, I'm not worried about people outside, but on the inside, somebody should be awake to see when I'm lighting, Pirsume Nisa. And the Mishnah Berurah takes it a little bit further, and he says that in order to light with the bracha on the inside, there has to be somebody awake. If no one is awake, says the Mishnah Berurah, I can no longer light with a bracha. So what do? So the Mishnah Berurah says, indeed, you should wake somebody up in order to be able to light when you're at home. So in the past, somebody asked me the question, can you do this? No one's awake. So you said you're supposed to wake somebody up. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Aruch HaShulchan says it can even be a child as long as they have a little bit of knowledge of what's going on. That's also sufficient. Can you get on Skype? Somebody asked this. Can you get on Skype? I don't want to wake anyone up in the household and call somebody who's awake and say, this is my Pirsume Nisa. I wavered on that. I thought maybe it's okay. So I asked Rav Zvulun Schwartzman this question this past Shabbos, and he said, no, that would not work. Why? His rationale was, we are not worried about people on the outside, right? We're worried about people in the household. We're lighting the Pirsume Nisa. Are people here right now? That's what our concern is. So if the person is not in the house, they cannot help with my Pirsume Nisa. So that was one question. Another question, how about if you're only around where non-Jews are, can you still light? So he said, you can absolutely, but it has to be within the time period between Shkia and Tichla Regel Min Hashuk. It has to be in that time period. Then we don't, and he thought maybe even up to Chatzot, I can cut. Why? Because I'm lighting outside. If I'm lighting outside for them, then the Pirsume Nisa is enough for me. But after that period, it may be a problem. Yeah?
So it sounds like you answered it, but I wasn't sure. How is he defining publicizing the mitzvah? Because Skype is technically a way of publicizing.
It is, but he says that publicity, the publication, has to be in the household. When Chazal said, if I'm lighting on the inside, I'm no longer concerned about people on the outside. That's not my standard. The onlookers, but the people on the inside is my standard. The publicity has to be, is myself, and should be somebody else. Okay, let's keep on going. Real quickly, also, nowadays, as we mentioned, we don't only light strictly inside or outside. Many people light inside, but for people on the outside, like in the windows. So when do you have to light? What's my standard? The people on the outside, and it should be within the half an hour, or it could be on the inside, as long as somebody's awake. So as long as it's in the window, we should try to adhere to the standard of lighting when there are people are outside, but it's not ma'akiv. It's not preventing me from lighting. If I miss the time, the half hour, or depending on what the standard is, I can still light on the inside. So okay, let me recap real quickly. We've said that people will light on the outside. Shkia is the preferred time, a little bit after Shkia. They should light enough oil for a half an hour, but we're machmir. Many people are machmir to be a half hour after Tzeisa Kochavim. So if we're not lighting on the outside, but lighting strictly on the inside, we're lighting for people on the inside, So we should make sure somebody's awake when we're lighting, even if it's during the night. And last, if I'm lighting in the window, I should light based on the standard outside, but it's okay if we light based on the standard inside. Okay, there's a Shulchan Aruch. We're going on to the next part. There's a Ramah in Shulchan Aruch that says, V'yesh omim dibizman hazeh shemadlikim bifnim mamish yadlik b'makum sho'ochel v'chein nahagu. Nowadays that we light on the inside, we should light in the place where people eat, and that is the minhag. What does that mean, when we eat? Where we eat. So the Taz explains that we're talking about not, okay, I eat sometimes here, I eat at a restaurant, so I can light in the restaurant. Wherever I'm going to eat, that's where I should light. That's not what he's saying. He says somebody who regularly sleeps in one place and eats at another place, as a kfius of eating. And the example would be at work. Somebody who eats at his desk 3 times a day. Anyone who's worked on that before, eating 3 times a day at the same, yeah? What was your situation there? It was where?
In the fire service. So you are on duty at the fire.
Emergency services. Oh, so you had to be there.
You to be there.
But you also slept there a little bit, I assume.
Yeah,
so you sleep there. So you need sleep. So that really could be your house for sleeping and eating. I had this when I was at work. I would get to work at around 8:30 in the morning, stay until 9 o'clock at night, and have my breakfast on the job, box of cereal. I didn't drink coffee back then. Now I quit also. I quit the habit. But I used to have my breakfast at work, lunch brought with me, dinner ordered in. So that's what the Taz is talking about. Somebody who has a place where he sleeps, go back home and sleep, work all day long. He says the preferred place then is to light where you eat. So based on this Taz, somebody who's stuck at work and regularly eats at work, what should he do for lighting the menorah? Kepshuto, light at work. So the Piskei Tshuvos brings a number of opinions. Opinion number one is somebody who has an ikar place of eating, which is at work, should light at work rather than lighting at home. That would be the preferred place indeed to light. How about if he's married? What does the family do? They also have to light, right? So the Piskei Tshuvos says let the wife light at home and let the husband light at work. Good for Shalom Bayis or not good for Shalom Bayis?
Excellent
for Shalom Bayis. It's good to have the family together. So that's opinion number one, is that the husband should light at work, at his ikar place of eating. That's assuming that he eats at his work 3 times a day. Wife should light at home. Second opinion that he brings, Kmochein, Yechola Ishto, Ubnei Beisel Lahamtin. They can wait for him to get home, meaning he lights at work, because he's supposed to light at work. And they can wait for him to get home, and he can relight on their behalf also. So either way, but on the first opinion and second opinion, the husband's lighting where? At work. And the first opinion is let the wife light when it's the time to light with the rest of the family. Or second opinion is she can wait. He comes home, he lights for them also. Third opinion goes like this. The Sefer Neri Yishu Beisel brings in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach. She'ishto tadlik. The wife should light at home on his behalf, and he does not light at all. In other words, not agreeing with the Taz, not agreeing with the Smrama, that we should, the husband has an ikar place of eating. Not all posts can agree with that. But rather, he shouldn't light. He's not there for the time of lighting. He's stuck at work. But rather, she should light. The wife can light on behalf of the husband. And he doesn't light whatsoever. That's the third opinion. Let me give the fourth opinion. The fourth opinion is brought by the Alicha Shlomo, also Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, and he says, but the proper thing to do is, even though the husband is coming home late from work, it would be proper for the wife to wait, and the family to wait for the husband, and everyone should light together. And that's based on what we saw before, that if we're already lighting for the family, not for the people, the onlookers on the outside, we don't have to be as strict about the time of lighting. We can light indeed later on, as long as somebody is awake. So we have four opinions. Opinion number one is husband lights at work at the proper time, wife lights at home at the proper time. Second opinion is husband lights at work at the proper time and comes home and lights on behalf of everyone. Third opinion is no, husband, don't light. You're not there on time. Let the wife light for everyone and fulfills the mitzvah for the husband. And opinion number four is let everyone wait till the husband comes home and he can light with them. They can also light everyone together at that time. Now, I got an email from a friend, and this does happen at certain companies, that they'll have a Hanukkah lighting together. They'll light the menorah together, and he said it's very nice. Everyone comes together, affiliated, non-affiliated Jews, and they'll say the bracha together. Now, I think probably what the right thing to do is that the people who are going to light at home, the frum people, should not say the bracha there. They should only say the bracha when they get home. That would be the proper thing to do. Okay, now, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was also asked this shaila, im habal mis'acher lavo habaisa mimakam avodaso. The husband's coming back late from work. Should the wife light in the meantime? It's shkia, a few minutes after shkia, it's the time to light. Should she wait for him or not? And he says, mi'ikar adin. Even though if you look at the strict letter of the law, the woman can light on his behalf. She should be strict about the times. Light at shkia, and he won't light. That's okay. Even though, strictly speaking, you have to do the mitzvah on time, but he says that is not good for their shalom abayis. What's shalom abayis? The harmony in the household, right? That's not exactly the greatest thing to do the mitzvah separately. Hanukkah is a time of family coming together. So he says that even though, strictly speaking, she should light at the proper time, but it's better that she not do so and wait until he comes home. And then Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says it's the same in opposite, in reverse, that if the husband is home and it's the wife that's stuck at work, he, even though Meikar Adin should light then, that's the proper time, Shkia, a few minutes after Shkia, but he should wait for his wife to get home and light with her rather than lighting punctually at the proper time because of the Shalom Bayis involved. Now he says, especially if the wife is supporting the husband whilst he's learning in yeshiva, the proper thing to do is to wait for her. Question? So let me keep on going and we'll take it at the end. Okay, so I got an email from a friend, Donnie Feldman. He's now living in Los Angeles, but he was at the time living in New York. And he said, there's a famous question as to whether if one is home at the proper time to light, should he wait for his wife or not? Or vice versa, wife waiting for husband waiting for wife. And he says, there's a story about the Chafetz Chaim, that the Chafetz Chaim indeed waited for his wife. So he says there was actually a tremendous miracle once, a big nes nigla, that he was home at the time of lich benching, at the time to write light menorah, at shkia. Donnie was working at a very intense investment bank, I think it was Lehman Brothers, so he used to never get home. And he happened to be home at one point, and his wife was working at a law firm, anyone familiar with U.S. law firms, called Cravath. It's like one of the insane firms that you don't own your life. You've signed on to be an indentured servant while you're there. So his wife was there 6x24. Everyone else is there 7x24. So she was still at work. He's home, and now he's like wondering, what should I do? So he says, I'm not sure if I was lenient in Shalom Bayis or strict in the halachas of Hanukkah, but he decided to light. So he went ahead, he lighted menorah at home, and he's there for a few hours. He gets a call from his wife that she got a ride home to Passaic, to Teaneck. They were living in Passaic. To Teaneck, it's about 50 minutes away, 25 minutes each way. So he's going out, goes to Teaneck to pick her up, comes back, late at night now, and his street is closed off by the fire department, full of fire cars. What do they call those? Fire engines. The menorah that he left burning, which he lit without his wife, had burned down their house when he went out to pick his wife up from Teaneck. And he says this may be more of a Shalom Bayis cautionary tale, or maybe simply a fire avoidance tale, but it is too powerful a story not to mention. So that is a true story from a friend of mine who, when he was living in New York, the house burned down from the menorah that he lit without his wife.
He had his wife, but he lit without her.
She probably figured it out. She's fairly intelligent. Okay, so Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, so the wife should wait. The wife should wait. So how about the kids? Kids are hungry. Kids like to eat, by the way. So what do you do about them? So he says, it's okay if the kids eat. Let them light. Let the kids eat. We don't want them to starve. That's less of a Shalom Bayis issue. Okay, now a more fundamental question. We're talking about somebody stuck at work. Can't get home. Are you allowed to be stuck at work? You have a mitzvah to do. And we see this in various mitzvahs, that comes a mitzvah, comes the time of a mitzvah. Zman mincha. It's the time for mincha. I can't do certain activities that may draw me in, and I may lose sight of doing that mitzvah. We have that in numerous mitzvahs, zman mincha. Shofar, we have the isurim, don't eat before, don't Don't litigate. Don't go into basting before. There's all these things. So the Maharshal says, when it comes to eating before the menorah, umiyad ki shehischils mano lo lecho, when the time of the lighting of the menorah, so let's say at shkia starts, you can't eat anymore because you have a mitzvah to do. Vahaflo lilmod, and you can't even learn Torah ad shiadli until you've done the mitzvah. And if you start it, says the Maharshal, even if you're in the middle of learning or whatever it is, you have to stop because you have to do the mitzvah. The machatisa shekel adzan. It's not only when the time comes that I can't do these activities, but even a half an hour in advance I can't do these activities. That applies in many areas. Samuch lemincha, the Mishnah says, right, samuch, within a half an hour after mincha, you can't go to the tannery, you can't go to the spa, you can't take a big, extensive haircut. So the same thing, says the Machatzis HaShekel, applies here. So this is the Psak of the Mishnah Berurah. Da'filu li'omad asum yishigi hazmana, when the time of menorah comes, you can no longer learn Torah, even learning Torah. V'kol shekein, certainly achila, you can't eat. U'shar dvarim, says the Mishnah Berurah. What's u'shar dvarim? And other things as well. And if you started, you have to stop. So what does that mean, u'shar dvarim? So the Piskei Tshuva says, what does that mean, u'shar dvarim? What he says, talking about his work. People think that they've started at the proper time to work, so I can continue. I'm in the middle of a deal, I'm working on something, I'm in the middle of a meeting, whatever it may be, I can continue. The Mishnah Berurah is saying that if you're at work, u'shar dvarim includes at work, doing business, doing a deal, consulting, whatever it is, you have to stop when the time comes to do the mitzvah. So he says, so what do people rely on, says the Piskei Tshuva? We know there are people at work, not in Israel, heaven forbid, but there are people who go to work and they stay, and they know lich benching is at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's now 6, and 7, and 8, and 9. So what can they possibly rely on that they're staying longer? So he says, let's take a step back. When's the proper time to light? If you're lighting outside, when do I have to light?
When the people are around.
When the people are around. From Shkia till a half hour afterward, or from Tzeis till a half hour. But if I'm of the people that light inside, when's my time that I light?
When
people are around on the inside, which is much more expansive. So if you're the type of person that lights outside, I only have that half an hour, according to Post on Postkin, to light. I've got to stop what I'm doing and make sure to light, because it'll very easily become a time that I can no longer light. But if I have an expansive time to light, like most people in the United States, they may work later, they may stay on even Hanukkah, but they're also allowed to light later, it's not a problem. So he says, ideally, they should stop and get home, but at least we have a basis for them to be able to continue working. So again, Donnie Feldman told me that when he was working as an investment banker at Lehman Brothers, it was a nais that he would get out, not for Shkia, but to get out for Tikkun Chatzos. Tikkun Chatzos is in the middle of the night. Like, to get home for Tikkun Chatzos as an investment banker, that alone was like a miracle. So he asked his Rav, Rav Yonasan Sachs, a big Talmud Chacham in New York, and he says, what should I do? I have two issues. I'm stuck at work. I'm working at Lehman Brothers. It's not like you can tell them for 8 days straight, well, other than Shabbos, but yes, Sunday, 7 days straight. Sorry, I got to go because it's time to light my menorah. That's not going to fly with Mr. Lehman and Mr. Brothers. That's not going to work. So what can I do? And if it means I get home typically at midnight from my job, and if I can't eat from Shkia or a half hour before Shkia, that's a good 7-8 hours without eating. So Rabbi Sachs said what he should do is he should leave himself a voicemail at home. The assumption is he would check his voicemails, reminding himself as soon as he got home, remember to light the menorah. And if you have that, a friend to remind you, if you have that reminder, then it takes you somewhat out of the problem of eating and waiting till later, because I have the I'm not going to get stuck and forget about the mitzvah because I have something to remind me. I use this, my cell phone has 5 alarms, and I've set every night before, I have it wake up, when to say brachas, when to say mincha, and when's marav. You have a reminder for it, that's going to help you out also. It's great to get an alarm clock with a phone with 5 alarms on it. Okay, so our next related question. Yes?
So he says that he comes home after chatzos and he likes.
As long as somebody's awake. So as long as somebody's awake, you can say with a breath.
Wow.
That's right. Okay, so assuming the wife, this is a small point, but an important point, assuming the wife is going to wait for the husband, as we mentioned, that's what Rav Yelko Kamenetsky said, is she not allowed to eat or do work until he comes home and lights for her? Does he have to sit? Because she needs to do the mitzvah. He's doing it for her. So on the one hand, she hasn't done the mitzvah. She can't eat. She can't do any malacha. She can't do anything. On the other hand, she's relying on the husband to do that. He'll take care of it. She's not the one who has to do the actual lighting then. Maybe she can eat and she can also do malacha. She can do other activities. So the poskim debate this. Some poskim are machmir. Some poskim are mekel because he's the one who's going to be lighting anyway. I think the middle path makes a lot of sense. Rabbi Tzalo Stern in his Bitzel HaChochma says as follows. Halol elacha. Bottom line, he has an extensive tshuva on this. Isha she'ino madlika ner chanukah ba'atzma. If she's not lighting herself, Ella Bala Madlika Motzia Yede Chovasa, the husband is lighting on her behalf. Muteres b'makam tzorech le'echal kodem hadlakas ner Chanukah. When there's a real need, she gets real hungry or whatever it is, then it would be permitted. Ideally, she should wait until the mitzvah is done by the husband, but it would be okay for her to wait. Okay, our next question then. We've talked about lighting at work. We've talked about waiting, not waiting. Shalom Bayis, getting home, lighting together, at what time, etc. What if you're stuck? We've gone through all that. How about if somebody is traveling? What do you do in that case? Somebody asked me last week. He's flying tomorrow, I think it is, tonight. I don't know if he's here right now. Flying tomorrow overnight. So he's here to light candles tonight. But starting then, he's going for a chasana in New York. Where should he light? What should he do about lighting when he's traveling? So we paskin as follows in Shulchan Aruch. Achsanya she'en madlikin ala bebezo. If you have somebody who's a guest staying by somebody, and he is not, he doesn't have a wife who is lighting for him. Okay, he's independent, like all of you guys. Independent. What do you do? Traveling. Here, when you're in yeshiva, you're lighting your shiva. What happens if you're traveling? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Sarech latet pruta la balabais. If you're staying by somebody, you've got to pay into the system. The balabais is going to be lighting his menorah. We also do this with Shabbos candles. If you're eating out at night, you have to pay where you're going, where you're going to be eating. For example, give them a shekel or whatever, and they'll include you in the mitzvah. So the Shulchan Aruch says, same with Ner Chanukah, buy into the oil, and the person who you are staying by will light on your behalf. So the Mishnah Berurah clarifies this. He says, this is talking about somebody who's staying by somebody who is not being lit for by his wife. Ki midina kishi ishto madlek is Ner Chanukah bebeiso. Mi'ikar adin, if somebody's wife is lighting for him and she is home and he is not, he fulfills the mitzvah by his wife's lighting. Badlakasa ashu b'makom rachok b'beiso. Even if he is very far away from his house, nonetheless, she is able to light for him. So this is an interesting question. She's lighting the menorah candles. She lives in Israel. Husband's in New York. What's the time difference between Israel and New York?
7 hours.
So when's she lighting? Say it's Tuesday, like today. She's lighting Shkia for Wednesday, for tomorrow. She's lighting Wednesday. What day is it for him?
Tuesday.
It's Tuesday for him. Based on this Mishnah Berurah, and some of the poskim say this, it's okay. He's still fulfilling the mitzvah via his wife, even though it's not even the right day for him. He's not lighting. He's not in the country. It's not even the right day for him to light, but she is fulfilling the mitzvah for him. So this concept of lighting with somebody else, the Piskei Tshuva says that there are two criteria. Criteria number one is that you are staying for free by somebody. That's criteria number one. You are a guest. You're not paying, because if you are paying, you are your own balabais. For example, if you're at a hotel and you pay for that room, that is your room. That's your own house that you have to light yourself. You can't rely on this. I'm staying by someone for free. So if you're staying somebody for free, number one. And number two is that the person is there to light for you at the time of lighting. He says as follows, Shabala bai shasham mitachsen oreach nimtza sham umadlik sham neres chanukah. He actually lights for you at the time, then it would be sufficient that you can simply pay in. You don't have to light independently. Yeah?
I feel like if you're at a hotel, a lot of hotels would have rules against lighting a menorah inside their room.
Excellent question. Okay, so the Piskei Tshuva has a footnote there, and he says, so what does that mean if you're in the hotel? Where's the ideal place to light? If you're in Kibbutz Lavi for Hanukkah, I had the pleasure of staying in Kibbutz Lavi for Hanukkah. They say you're not allowed to light in the rooms. They have like a corridor. Who's been to Kibbutz Lavi? Wow, tremendous, right? Oh, you have the tiyul there from the yeshiva.
Yeah.
And I asked Rabbi Wiener, am I invited? He said yes, but okay. So So in any case, maybe, I guess it's not happening this year. So is it happening?
Yeah.
Kibbutz Lavi?
few weeks, probably.
In a few weeks. Oh, not during Chanukah. Okay, so I'll ask him again if I can hitch a ride. So in any case, there's like a bridge there with glass on all sides there that you walk through from the lobby to the main hotel. That's where people light in Kibbutz Lavi. So it's an excellent question. Where do you light if you're in a hotel? So it can be that you light where you eat, which is not that, where you eat. Ideally, the Piskei Tshuva says you should light in your room because it's clear that I'm the Baal HaBayis on this room, meaning I'm paying for this room. So that would be the ideal. If they have rules, then we would adhere to the rules, even if it's there, even if it's in that corridor, that would be acceptable. But the ideal would be to light in the room.
If you're on a long flight and traveling...
We'll get to that in a little bit. Great question. Okay, so next, we've said there are different categories that if a wife can light for you if you're married. If you're not married, she's not lighting for whatever reason, I would have to light. If I'm staying by somebody and I'm not paying, and he can light for me, I should pay him and he can light for me. Even if one's wife is lighting for him, we paskin in the Ramah, you wrote to the Hachmir al Atma, if you want to be Machmir and light by yourself, independent of her, she's lighting at home and I also want to light, that is totally acceptable. That's totally acceptable to do that, but you have to make sure either to have negative intent, if she's lit already for you and you didn't have in mind that I'm not being Yotzev by her, then she lit already for you, you can't do the mitzvah anymore. So you can't say the bracha anymore. So you'd have to have negative intent. I'm not being Yotzev Vayer. We have that concept of negative intent in various contexts. We're not going to go through it, but I'll just mention a couple real quickly. Somebody is in shul for Havdalah. And he has to also stay Havdalah for his wife at home. The Aruch HaShulchan says that if you stand there and you don't think, you just stop, you're just listening to the Havdalah, and you don't have in mind, I'm not being Yotzeh, you may have a problem now saying Havdalah for your wife at home because you were already Yotzeh Havdalah at Shul. Similarly, we have this concept of the Salach when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer. Somebody says, what's today? What's the Sfiras HaOmer, right? And I say, oh, today's 2 days into the Omer. Can I count anymore? Because you already counted. Even if I didn't say the bracha, I counted. But what happens if I had negative intent? I have in mind, when I say Hayom Shnei Yamim Ba'Omer, I told him, but I have in mind, I'm not being Yotze via this statement I'm about to make. So Aruch HaShulchan again says, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah then, because I had negative intent, even though I said Hayom Shnei Yamim Ba'Omer, I was thinking, I'm not being Yotze, I'm going to say it again later with the bracha, that would be acceptable. So it comes to, when it comes to the life, wife is lighting for me, fine, but if I also want a light independent of her, that is also a good thing to do. But I have to have in mind when she's lighting, or light before she does, that I'm lighting independent of her. Now the Aruch HaShulchan says, indeed, that's the minhag. A minhag shalanu is even when somebody's wife is lighting for him, the husband would light independently wherever he is. Not if he's at a place that he can light. It's not like he's stuck at work. That's not what we're saying. Okay, next question. Somebody's traveling. Somebody's on a plane. Somebody's on a train. I remember I saw a tshuva once 20 years ago. It said, if you are on a plane and it's the time to light, you should light your menorah at your seat, on your table. And if the stewardess comes and puts it out, fine, that's her problem. Now, if you go back, you guys are used to non-smoking flights, but that hasn't always been that way. It used to be, and the smokers used to be happy for this, and the non-smokers used to hate getting on flights because secondary smoke is a killer also. So it used to be that people could smoke on the airplane. It wasn't a problem. And then they started putting it, there's a smoking section and a non-smoking. So when you called up, you'd say, I want a kosher meal, and I also want to be in the non-smoking section. That's how it used to be on an airplane. Last three rows, four rows, whatever need they had was a smoking section and then the non-smoking section. Obviously, it wasn't dangerous. Planes were not blowing up because people were smoking on them, right? You may still even see the ashtrays nowadays. And I don't know, the newer planes don't have it, but if it's a plane that's 20, 30 years old, it still has the ashtrays because people used to smoke on the planes. So that sock said, just light it. Now, nowadays, what would happen if you lit menorah on a plane? It's not a wise idea. So option one is, when you land, if it's still before Alas HaShachar, light then. What happens if you're going all night? You're on that 15-hour flight from Israel to Los Angeles. You're going all night. It's day the next day when you come. So the Aruch HaShachar, when it comes to trains, says as follows. Nira la'aniyu stati. The Atash Ravan is Sios Ben Mesilas Abarzal. Nowadays, the majority of travels are on the train. This is before automobiles. The Kasha and planes. The Kasha Lahadlik Sham Kiyadu. And it's a little bit difficult to light on a
train.
We're not talking about Amtrak, where it's fairly easy to light. He's talking about 100 years ago on the train. You got to imagine that it was like people bringing their suitcases on, and it wasn't exactly you could bring a stool and sit on it or something like that. So it's not so easy. So somebody's lighting at home for you, okay. But even if somebody's not lighting, even if somebody is lighting at home for you, but ideally you'd see the menorah also. So he says at least light one candle. And then he says, V'kol shekein, mishe in lobai, somebody who doesn't have a house. Doesn't have, meaning no one's lighting for him at home, and he's got to fend for himself. You have to light there. If you're not going to get to another place that you can light during the same night, so you have to light. So the Betzalel HaChochma has the shayla, and he says if you're on a plane or a train, what you should do is you should find a place to light. If it's in the galley or by a window or something that it can stay, great. If not, then light one candle at your seat in a way that no one can see it. But he says if that's not going to work, so maybe you have to light and turn it, put it right out. Nowadays that would not work. You pull out a lighter, you light a match, they're going to push the panic button, that's it. So there's an interesting question, halacha, whether you can use a flashlight or not. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. Yeah?
I was just wondering, I mean, even beyond being able to light it on the plane, it seems like it'd also be dangerous to light it on an airplane if it hit turbulence or something. Fall over and start a fire.
You know, there was never, it never happened when people were smoking on the plane that I heard of, that a plane hit turbulence and blew up because somebody was smoking. So,
sure.
But I think we're more concerned about the law and the chilul Hashem than the fire. The fire could be, but it's immediate chilul Hashem. You light something on the plane.
Yeah.
That's a big problem. Okay, so the Tzitz Eliezer had the following question. What was that?
They remove your lighter anyway. You have nothing to light it with.
So you'd need matches.
Six.
You take it. You use two flints, right? You use a zipper and use the match that you smuggled on.
You get a free trip.
What was that?
You'll get a free trip if you light a match.
To the jail. The Tzitz Eliezer had the following question: somebody who is camping. Somebody's out camping, what should he do about lighting menorah? And he says, well, if you're in a tent, you light by the tent. And even if you're not in the tent, but you're out there camping, he says, even if you're sleeping under the stars, you would have an obligation to light. It's not like I have to go back home. If I'm on a camping trip, that's my place to light. I should be, if my wife isn't lighting for me, I should indeed light there. I just want to end off with two points. My brother wrote me an email as follows. The most memorable menorah lighting for me was in the Hong Kong airport. I had been teaching in China and was flying back to the States through Hong Kong. They had a non-denominational chapel that was empty. There was obviously no pictures of people hanging up on crosses there. So he was in that chapel. So he pulled up in there. He davened Maariv and then lit my menorah and stayed until it burned out. In the middle, a Muslim came in to do his prayers, prayer mat and all. So there's my brother sitting next to his dear cousin Muslim. At first, it was quite awkward to have him there, but then I realized that it was a far more distinctive type of Pirsume Nisa than I could have ever achieved back home in Boston. So that does happen. We see here somebody traveling. His wife, I'm sure, could have lit for him, but he wanted a light. It's not a problem. Lighting, just the last question is somebody who works at a gas station. So there are laws about not lighting around the gas station. A lot of traffic going around, so he's got a light, or maybe there's a Mara sign that he didn't light. What should he do? The law is you're not allowed to light anything. So the psak of the Chashuchei Chemed was that he should light a flashlight near where he should be lighting anyway, and add one for each night in a way that it's clear that he's lighting for the menorah. He says you cannot say a bracha that's not close enough to oil. The nace that was with oil, it wasn't with flashlights. Candles are okay, but flashlights are not. If you have a choice between a flashlight that is plugged in and has a battery, it's preferred to have a battery because it's able to light by itself, more like a fire as opposed to something that's powered, plugged in. That would not be quite as good, but you can say the bracha anyway. We'll recap real quickly the time to light. Ideally, certainly for lighting outside from Shkia, up until Tzeis HaKochavim, according to some poskim, even after Tzeis, Ad Shetich LaRegel Min HaShuk, we have three different definitions. What that means, if we're lighting outside, there should be people outside, not just one or two stragglers, according to Rav Sternbach. It has to be when people are coming home. He said it was up till 7, 7 o'clock was the time, another half hour till 7:30. If we're lighting inside, we don't have to worry as much about the time. As long as somebody is awake, that's fine. When it comes to a husband stuck in the workplace or the wife, we've said that there are different opinions, but the minhag is not that he lights at work, even if he eats his three meals there. Wait at home. Ideally, everyone at home should light because of the Shalom Bayis factor. Remember the story about Donnie Feldman with the house burning down when he did not wait. That's an important thing. And indeed, guys, you should have a wonderful Chag, wonderful holiday. I don't want to say Chag Sameach. It's not, the Gemara says specifically, and Rashi says, it's not a Chag of Simcha. It's a Chag of Hallel and Hodah. It's a time of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should save us, just as he did at the time of Hanukkah from all of our enemies. He should continue to do so even during our times when it feels like life is easy and good, but there are a lot of enemies out there. Of Klal Yisrael, we just had 14 people vote against us in the United Nations, and the 15th gave us a big slap in the face. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should continue to protect us as he has throughout history. Have a great holiday. And it's time to head to the basement. Oh, yeah. I thought you went to
one of those big electric menorahs. So you won't be able to bring a bracha on that?